be okay trying to do your own thing, because there's a lot of veterans that are very successful that way. I mean, there's veterans who go to W-2 job and totally fine with that and also crushing it. But I think it's just been cool to see, like, the veterans who do well are the veterans who are willing to give back, not necessarily to the veteran community, but like just in life.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, my friends, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career. This is conversation number 112, episode 180. There are two segments within the podcast. There are the conversations where I interview guests, and there are the contemplations where it's just me contemplating a lot of things that I've learned in my life and that I discuss with you, the listeners, throughout the week, and then I share them through the week, four episodes a week. My guest today is David Perret, who is an active duty Marine. We talk about house hacking and his 53 doors on an active duty income, which is pretty impressive, so stay tuned for that. We also talk about how to work on your purpose or your passion while you have a day job, which is something that I'm huge on, that you know that I'm doing all the time with this podcast. And one of the other great things we talked about was how to get mentorship through relationship building, which, you know, I'm huge on relationship building. I always bring up how to win friends and influence people. And I'm also reading right now, Networking is a Contact Sport. So I'm a huge advocate of that. This was such a great podcast. It was really great to talk to somebody who's active duty right now and actually showing that it's possible to do this stuff while you're deploying, while you're working on a military salary, and there's really never any excuses. So this is a great episode. He also is a fellow podcaster. He runs From Military to Millionaire, which is a great YouTube channel, podcast, and the website. So go check that out, subscribe to him, and see everything that David has to offer. This is a fun podcast. This is a great podcast, and I cannot wait to share it. Remember, you can find this one and all the other contemplations and conversations on christophlewis.com/podcast or on any podcasting app, and you can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career.
Hey, thanks for having me, brother. I'm stoked to be here.
Yeah, it's so cool. I was just telling you, like, you're obviously somebody I connected with on, I thought it was Facebook, and then I couldn't even remember who tagged you, but I had a post, somebody tagged your name, and then I was like, who is this guy? I clicked on your name, and I saw all of the crazy stuff and awesome things that you're doing, and I was like, wait a minute, this dude's still on active duty, and you're just doing pure awesomeness, and you're podcasting, and I was like, why don't you come on my show, man? So it's cool to finally connect like that. It's incredible. I love social media.
I agree. It's crazy. Some of the people I've met and been like, oh, hey, you'd be a cool guest. And then like later I find out like, holy crap, that's someone who probably shouldn't have even been in the same like conversation as me. Like, wow, I didn't know they were this big.
It's so
say that I'm big, but you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny though, because like one of the things I always talk about though is like, don't sell yourself short. And that's like one of the things that kind of coincides with imposter syndrome. I'm not sure how familiar you are with that.
Oh, intimately.
Yeah, yeah, right? So like that definitely is like on the same playing field as like, how the hell am I talking to some of these people? And then I'm like, well, hold on. Like, look at all the work I've done to get to this point and all the people I've talked to. And you know as much as I do how much work it takes. I'm a one-man band on this. Do you do it yourself, by yourself? Oh yeah,
I have a couple of virtual assistants at this point
good
for like
you.
Editing things. But
okay,
that's it.
Yeah, it's wildly busy. So, for those of us that don't know who you are and all the awesomeness that I speak of, you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm just some dude named Dave who's in the Marine Corps. I have been for 11 years now, and in 2015, I read a book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And,
nice.
Kind of begrudgingly. Yes. Like, I got kind of, like, forced into it by someone.
Yeah.
Because they told me to read it, and I was like, I don't read books, man. Go away. And he was like, he, like, literally pulled out of his pocket a disc and was like, I have it on CD, and you drive around as a recruiter. So here you go.
Yeah.
Tell me next week how it was. And I'm like,
wow.
Damn it. All right. Well, okay, I guess I got to read it now. And, like, totally changed my life, right? Like, read that, then rental book, then rental book, then rental book, then real estate. And, like, 3 months later, I owned a duplex. So I bought a house hack, lived in one side, rented the other. And I was like, oh, man, I'm basically living for free. There's something to this. And then I moved away. And within the first year, that house had paid for itself as far as what I put into it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And it's just been kind of going from there. So at this point, it's been 4 years. Bought and sold like 53 rental units.
Wow.
And I have a house that I'm flipping right now, which I say, I say that and it sounds great, but the house flip is like going terrible. It's everything could go wrong. It's phenomenal.
So it's a good learning lesson.
Tons of learning lessons.
Yeah.
It's tuition, right? And it should still be profitable when it's done. It just also should have been done 2 months ago.
Okay.
So I did all this.
Wow.
And in 2017, you know, I was probably at 12 units then, and I was like, I'm going to start documenting what I'm doing. This is kind of cool. I'm having fun. And, why aren't other people doing this? So it was torn between that and, like, I kind of wanted to write a book about my time in Afghanistan. Like, not that I did anything cool, but
sure. There
aren't any books about people who did normal things.
And I kept love that. Yeah, good. That's good.
Yeah, and I kept a really good journal. Like, I have, like, an everyday, there's an entry journal, mm-hmm. but then I also have a mission log. That's like every mission we ever did. And I can literally like match them up and say, hey, on this day when I drove over an IED on this mission, this is how I was feeling that night when I journaled. Like it's kind of cool. And I was like, I could turn that into a book. And I realized no one would listen to me because nobody knows who I am. And so I started blogging and about probably one or two posts into my blog, a friend was like, dude, just document everything you're doing with real estate. Cause I couldn't figure out what to write about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's cool. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, people liked it, I guess. I've got a pretty solid social media following for, you know, just some random dude named Dave and a podcast and a YouTube channel. And
not random anymore.
Yeah, it's weird. It's super, super sketch that people recognize. Like the weirdest thing is I'm still in, right? And I'm an E6 for those of you who know military. I'm just a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. I bought my first house as a sergeant, but it's really crazy because there are like majors and lieutenant colonels and like random people who like they recognize it's probably the mustache, but they'll spot me and they'll come say hi. And it's always so baffling to be like, hey, like we were at Bridgeport and there were like a bunch of pilots that I guess somehow all followed me on Instagram.
That's awesome.
At some point, like my captain who was sitting at the table next to me just like looked at me and was like, so what the hell is going on here? How do all of these pilots know who you are? And what am I missing? Like, oh, you didn't know about my website, sir? Like, it's crazy. So it's been fun. Yeah, so that's, I guess, the long story short of Dave.
I love everything about that. I'm pretty sure I don't talk about it overwhelmingly on my podcast, but for the listeners that listen to more things and follow me more closely on Instagram, they know that my wife and I are going to be first-time investors in real estate. So amongst all these other things that I talk about and do with my own career transitions, that's one of the things that I want to do is make money, live well below my means, funnel money, funnel money into these investments. And I've so choose real estate after all the books. Like, it's so funny. Like you said, begrudgingly read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I begrudgingly read that as well because I think it was one of the first self-help, you know, quote unquote self-help books, real estate books that I read years ago. And when I read it, I was sad that I didn't read it sooner and that I didn't take my friend's advice. And then flash forward to this year and my wife and I are doing all this talk and I'm like, hey, you should read this book. And she's like, no. And then she finally read it and, you know, it's like this light bulb goes off. But I love your story. I'm blown away by you saying, I think 53 houses in the last 4 years or 53 doors at least. And it's mind boggling. But amongst all of these things, yes, you're active duty, but you started something new. So there's so many lessons already for me to take away from here. But you just went out there, you read a book. And then here we are 4 years later and 53 doors is really impressive. And like, I have like, oh, I want to get two places in the first year. And I think after hearing this, it's just like, I want to know kind of more about how you expedited that and how you got into it. But I just think there's so many lessons here is like, just start, because you said, oh, I was begrudgingly read it and then things happen, but you keep on doing it. And then you said you kept on reading books and books and books and you kept on doing all this stuff. And I saw you like write an article for Bigger Pockets, which is like my favorite real estate podcast that I listen to all the time. And I'm like, dude, it's just so cool how like this, one of the reasons, so everybody knows, I'm going to stop here and go on a little bit longer, is that I started this podcast is for examples just like this. Like, number one, you're in the military still and you started something new that you didn't know, and then look what it's flourished into. So this is one of the basic things that I've started the podcast off of. So a great example off that, man. Absolutely insane.
I appreciate that. And yeah. I'm glad that you got your wife to read that book, because
she finished it.
My wife has made it like maybe halfway through in the last – I gave it to her like 3.5 years ago.
Yep.
And I think six or so other people have read it in the time that she has it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you can't force people to do things like that regardless of who they are. I think I talk about it so obsessively that it'll eventually pour into her life a little bit to some extent. And we do want to be partners in this. But I do want to talk about like, so you're doing it as active duty. And I just... describe your mindset through all of this. Like you said a little bit before we started recording that you were planning on eventually getting out, but to kind of describe the mindset of wanting to start something after your day job and continue that, because obviously like God knows you're traveling and you're training and probably deployments most likely, and then all of these things. I want to hear more about that.
I forgot to ask before we started this, is swearing cool on your show or
you're
no?
You're good to go.
Okay. So then my mindset started out as, fuck it. I mean, that was basically, I didn't start out with like the real estate thing was just like, oh, I can dump some money into this and I can have a property manager and I'm not doing a whole lot with it once I buy the place. And, you know, over the long term, that'll build wealth. And I think that's cool. Like that was my kind of starting thing. And then I just started the community thing, just kind of was like this thing. I was like, yeah, I'll blog every now and then. And then, like I said, it just kind of took off. I was like, holy crap, a lot of people need this. And it just went from there. And all of a sudden, I read, it was probably the Fuel and the Fire, The Miracle Morning. And next thing I know, my alarm is set for like 355, you know, 365 days a year.
Sure.
And I mean, with the, you know, the odd occasion that I miss my alarm, but very rare because I have like four of them because I'm a heavy sleeper. but yeah, I'm up. I like had to reschedule my whole day now. I go to the gym during lunch instead of in the morning. I work for 2 or 3 hours in the morning and then I go to work. And now I'm in a job where I don't even have a cell phone in the building for 8, 10 hours a day. And then I come home and I try to work on stuff if I can or the weekend. But my mentality behind all that is just that. So I decided, I think as we talked before we were recording, or maybe we were already recording, that we are going to, my plan is 2 years when my active duty contract ends, that I plan to go in the reserves and I want to be able to control my time. And in order to do that, I need to really push on the gas pedal here to make this happen. Cause I'm trying to build, there's two main driving factors behind it. One, I want to control my time. The other is I want to have a purpose. So as you know, and I, that people struggle through the transition and a lot of that is losing their purpose. Right. That's a huge piece. And so I'm like, hey, I'm kind of built a purpose for myself. Like people look to me for information. I'm able to help them. I'm able to be a huge piece of the veteran community, which is weird. Cause like you said, I'm not in like out of the military veteran status yet, but it's still helpful. I think that's actually part of the reason people like it. Cause they're like, this guy's no BS and he's still puts on the boots and goes to work.
Sure.
Except for this month, this whole month I'm off cause I had knee surgery. So that's great.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Not really, but I thought I was going to get so much done, but it's amazing. Absolutely. What Percocet is doing to you.
I was about to say, all that medication, probably not.
I haven't done, today's like my first day of real writing in 3 weeks. So.
Well, thank you then. I'm even more like obliged.
So I just started building this thing and it just kind of grew. And now I'm like, man, there's something to this. This could be my purpose. This could be my way to have time. And I could give back and help people. And it's been really impactful.
See, and that's what I love. I love being able to bring up these things organically in the conversation. Everybody knows. Here's another thing. I want to have examples of people that aren't just going out there and doing awesomeness like you are, but I specifically want to talk to people that are helping other people as well, which you are clearly doing. Like in everything that you're doing, you said, you know, taking these notes and helping other people through them, and you know, the blogging, and then blogging about, well, you said, why aren't other people doing this? And I think that's so funny. We kind of have that epiphany, or that we ask that question of ourselves, of when you figure something out for the first time, why aren't other people doing this? So that's like one of the massive things that, again, like I want to do this because, yeah, I want to learn, but I'm like, I'm learning all this stuff. I'm having all these great conversations with people like yourself, all these good examples. Well, I don't want to keep this to myself. I want other people to hear that you can do this stuff, whether, and substitute whatever variable of a career that you're doing in. Like you could be doing job A, and then you could start building up job B on the side. So this isn't, yep, you know, it's a military example, but you can do it. So you can have all these jobs and you can still create something for yourself. And I know specifically, again, when you said purpose, this podcast, and it's so great to talk to another podcaster, because this podcast, I've come to realize, I didn't know at first, but I've come to realize that it has become my purpose. I struggled with that greatly from doing all the things that I was doing in the military. And I was like, well, what now? Like, I have a job and I enjoy the job and I get to contribute to society in that sense, but it doesn't truly fulfill me. So it's really cool to hear that you can do that. And I would highly suggest that to other people. Like, doing something you like is fun, but when you're able to apply that mindset of why isn't anybody doing this, and then you apply that to teaching other people that, then you're like, shit, here's my purpose. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is really cool. And it's just so cool. That's one of the questions I love asking is, well, why do you love helping people? But it sounds like, well, I just want to teach people, right? I mean, or is there anything deeper than that, maybe, that like, why do you, I mean, you could just do awesome real estate stuff by yourself, and you could podcast and talk about whatever and blog, but is there a deeper reason, maybe, like deeply rooted or something? Have you always been a helper, maybe, or?
Maybe, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I was kind of raised, I guess,
so to curiosity,
be one,
yeah,
one of those nice guys, but I think it probably goes back to the fact that I made all the mistakes in the first 4 years that everyone makes, right? The,
yeah.
Come back from deployment, buy a gun, a sniper rifle, a truck, a Harley, a tattoo,
sure,
beer, you know, women, whatever, right? Like nothing left. Then I did all that. Probably the first 5 years, I had nothing to show for anything,
yeah,
other than like a couple cool cars, whatever. And so I think trying to help people avoid that, because I look back and I'm like, man, like I know people told me to invest in the TSP and I did a little bit, but like no one told me like, do this,
same,
do this, yeah, do this. Don't put your money in the damn G fund, right? Like I literally calculated it. I've lost like,
oh,
if I had put my money in the funds that it's in now, I'd have like $20,000 or $30,000 more in it, yeah, than what I have,
same,
because I just left it in the G fund. And I'm like, these are such simple things. And the military does an okay job of teaching you the what.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't tell you like the why you need to do it. And not in a way that it's convincing. Like they tell you, yeah, invest in the TSP, but they're not like, no, look, Johnny, sit down. This is what you need to do. And if you do this, and you, even if you only did it, like if I maxed my TSP for 4 years and that was it, just maxed it for 4 years, I would never have to put another penny in. And that would be enough to retire on by the time I'm 60.
Wow.
Right. And I didn't know that. Like, yeah. And so now I'm like, man, if I could just help people out with little things like that, and your TSP, your lenders will count that as your cash reserves for real estate. So you no longer have an obligation to provide or have cash stored aside, because that thing that's growing exponentially counts. And so,
brilliant.
I mean, yeah, not to say that I don't have money in there, but like, it's just little things like that,
sure,
where I'm like,
yeah,
that's so simple. And I just don't want people to mess that up.
That's so cool. And that's like it goes again, it coincides with why aren't other people doing this? And it's so funny, like I admittedly and embarrassingly went pretty much my entire 9-year career in the Navy without knowing that about just the TSP, the fund. So it's a retirement fund for anybody that's not aware of that. And it's in a certain fund within that, to where it's dependent on your risk. And you just up the risk a little bit and you'll be okay. And it's things like that. And yeah, it's so cool that you've done this in a podcast. So for everybody else, it's called Military to Millionaire Podcast. And I kind of want to talk a little bit more about that. And I was, from one podcaster to another, I kind of wanted to ask, like, after all the episodes that you've done and everything that we've just described, is there like a better lesson or a bigger lesson or something really interesting that you've learned maybe from everyone you've talked through this journey? It doesn't have to be anything specific, but maybe like a reoccurring topic that you've seen come up a lot.
Man, two things, I guess, that kind of stand out when you say that. The first is that transition sucks.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, and I haven't done it yet, but everyone I know who's gotten out of the military has struggled. Like, and no matter how well set up they were, it's like you're not ready ever, which is kind of scary when you think about it. And I even had a transition specialist on.
Oh, wow.
She had a wonderful story. And that now her like sole mission is helping people with that transition process because she almost ended up homeless getting out. And then she might have actually been homeless at one point and then like figured it all out. Now her like whole mission is this nonprofit to help people with that.
So cool.
But that seems to be the trend. So the transition is huge. And then like, I guess the other thing I would just say is there's a lot of us out there doing like real estate or entrepreneurship and crushing it. And so I would just like challenge people to like be okay trying to do your own thing, because there's a lot of veterans that are very successful that way. I mean, there's veterans who go to W-2 job and totally fine with that and also crushing it. But I think it's just been cool to see like the veterans who do well are the veterans who are willing to give back, not necessarily to the veteran community, but like just in life.
Yeah.
If you read The Go-Giver, it's a good book.
I'm gonna write that down. Yeah.
Summarizes like, but I guess that'd probably be the big one. Is like everyone struggles with transition, so do as much as you can to prepare for it, and then give back to others.
So cool.
Even if it's just your time.
Yeah, I think you can't go into it knowing that it's going to be easy. I got out in summer of 18. I honestly, mentally, and actually strategically started preparing for it at the end of 15, so about 2.5 years out. And I was set up pretty good, but I will say for me, like all of the structure and things were set up really well, and I was comfortable for that. So I would give you confidence by saying that, like there, you can do that. But I mentally, like we kind of talked about with the purpose, that was really difficult. I still remember the first day I showed up to my new job as a civilian. I looked around and everybody was super nice, like very nice and awesome, but I just couldn't wrap my head around what I had done, and I knew that's what I had wanted for years, and it was so weird, and in retrospect, it's definitely the best option that I did. I'm very happy with my choice, to hopefully give you more confidence in your choice, you know, that you want to do it. You got to do your due diligence, man, and you just got to do the best you can every day, and that's the best advice that I would give to you and anybody else that was transitioning, again, regardless if it's military or going from one career that you've been into for a decade and you're going to something else. Do the best you can. Do as much research as you possibly can. And shit is still going to go south sometimes, you know, like it's going to get crazy. I mean, has there been like a time where shit did go south real bad and you maybe didn't think you were going to cut out for this real estate stuff, or you thought you were going to stay in for 20 years, or tell me about that?
Yeah. Two, if we count the Percocet meltdown of mood swings and depression over the last 2 weeks, where I like thought everything was great. I was like, woo, I'm recovering. And I was like hanging out with my family. And I basically did like one of the emotional, like stiff arms and was just like this train wreck. And then it wasn't until like the week later that I was like looking through Percocet side effects and was like,
oh yeah.
I felt all of those, and I didn't know that. Like, I was like literally at one point, like sitting on the recliner in our spare bedroom, like curled up crying about like how difficult life was. And my wife's like, are you good? I'm like, I'm good. I just, you know, and I'm like, so anyway, so aside from that meltdown, which is
no big deal,
that sucked. I threw those things away. So I mentioned I'd bought and sold 53 units. Part of that is a 40 unit that I bought. And I'm still in a lawsuit over trying to get all my money back out of, because the seller, I really can't go into too many details on it.
Sure.
But long story short, contractual obligations were not fulfilled. 4 months into the deal, there was a lot of money that was supposed to be sent my direction for things that were supposed to be done and weren't. And so like an example is, at one point there was like a roof that was supposed to be replaced and wasn't. And then there was money that was supposed to be sent to me if the roof wasn't replaced and wasn't. So now I'm like, I got a leaky roof. It's December. Yeah. I got mad tenants. I got no money to fix the roof. Like, you know, so a big mess. Probably big enough that it would turn a lot of people away if you were to hear like dollar values for,
sure.
I mean, we're talking between me and one partner. We had three of my salaries invested as the down payment in a $3 million building. And so, yeah, kind of frightening.
Yeah.
And now I'm like 16.
Definitely frightening. Feet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely not a good story. But the reality is a couple things. One, and this has been a huge mind like thing for me, because people are like, well, why are you still buying real estate? Like, that sounds terrible. Well, a couple things. One, like, I'm probably not ever going to have an experience that bad again. and it didn't break me. Like, I'm still totally fine. If I never see that money again that I haven't seen in over a year now, like, I'm still doing fine right now.
Yeah, so I love that, man.
That was the worst case. So, like, worst case scenario wasn't that bad. Two, I now have a very, very intimate understanding of the legal system and what to watch out for on contracts. But the nice thing is that I've been able to prove to myself that my understanding of that is actually pretty good. Because every time I go back to my lawyer and I'm like, hey, I read all this and this is what I got out of it. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. So, like,
that's so cool.
Can trust myself a little bit with that.
Yes.
And then just so many other lessons, right? Like, just things not to do and things to do. And a very hard lesson in trusting people, because I did too much of that. And I should have done more, more to protect myself. And
that's good advice.
Just things where I took someone's word. So, I mean, there was a lot in there that at one point I was just like, you know, like, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out. but at the end of the day, like, we should theoretically be into court in the next 5 or 6 months.
Sure.
To get all our money back, and, you know, we'll move on with life. And even if we don't,
yeah,
it's not the end of the world for either of us. Mm-hmm. Although I'll feel like crap for my partner, but he understands. So it is what it is.
You guys both knowingly went into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's just one of those things though, where I'm like, I was operating this, like, even if it's not my fault at all, which obviously there's always a piece of it that's your fault, but even if it wasn't at all, I'd still feel like a total ass.
that's been
the hardest part.
You're a human being. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, but even then, like, I bought this flip after that, and I refinanced my 10 unit. And so at this point in the game, I've gotten every dollar back out of my duplex. I've gotten more than every dollar back out of my 10 unit. And I've got probably almost $100,000 in equity between the two of them, and a couple other things. And then this house flip, like, I had $10,000 worth of materials stolen out of it last week. And that's
awesome.
Why, like, everything that could go wrong. But it's getting worked out. My contractor's going to get it all fixed. It's just delayed the project. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess those are some of my, like, crummy moods. But, like, the end of the day, it's just one of those things where you need to invest and treat everything like you – if you want to be successful in life, emotion is your enemy when it comes to anything financial or business. Mm-hmm. And that's what it boils down to, is, like, think through it logically. Can you fix it? No. Okay, how can you find a solution and fix it now? You can't stop it from happening. So
yeah, I mean, that's phenomenal advice. But speaking as a person that experiences emotions, I know how hard that can be, and it's really tough to work on, especially when it's you and it's your money that you're not getting, or you're losing, or you're getting stolen, or whatever. And it's like, maybe you're thinking like, oh shit, what did I get myself into? Why did I do this? I just want it to be done. But at the same time, like, as you were talking, I was thinking, like, 4 years is nothing in the grand scheme of things, man. Like, you're a young dude and you got a long time to be investing and stuff, and you gotta, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you just kept on saying, or as you were talking, I was just smiling, because I was like, dude, you got the right mindset. That's why you're going to be successful. And gosh, if I've heard anything on any real estate podcast or book that I've read, it's like, if you want to play that game, you have got to be ready for those kind of things that are going to come up and bite you in the ass, because they are very much real. Like, all the roofing stuff, all that stuff is so real, man.
It just never ends. There's always something. I mean, I say it never ends, like, but it's like one of those things where it's like the stock market, except you control it, which is wonderful. But, like, you know, you see these things where the stock market, it goes, like, down, but it's overall, it's going, like, I had someone, 2 months ago, I got a phone call from my property manager. She's like, hey, we have a problem. I'm like, okay, what's up? And she manages everything. Like, this whole phone call is 5 minutes, and that's the only thing I've had to deal with on this entire issue. So when I tell you the issue, that's kind of incredible. Like, that's why she's wonderful. But like, I had someone die in the property.
Very cool.
And, like, in his room.
Yes, terrible.
And nobody knew. Like, I guess no one – I don't want to say nobody loved him, but I don't know. He was older. Like, I guess no one – he didn't – I don't know.
It happens.
We didn't know until almost 3 weeks later, when he didn't pay rent and my manager went by the place.
Whew.
And so here's this guy in August or September in Missouri who's, you know, been essentially rotting in my unit. Anyway, so my property manager calls, and the phone call is literally, hey, this happened. I got 3 quotes. This is your best quote with the best company, because I had to do environmental cleaning to, like, come in and pull all the carpeting out, all the cabinetry out, all this other crap and whatever to, like, completely sanitize the place. An industrial hygienist are not cheap. And she's like, and I called your insurance. Here's what your deductible is. It's going to be the same. Do you want to go through insurance or yourself? Like, oh, I'll just go through myself. And it's like a $5,000 mistake. Basically, he decided that on his way out, he was going to take the entire year's worth of rent he'd paid me with him. But, you know, like, whatever, there was a budget for it. It wasn't that bad. And we're totally fine. Like, that was just a little speed bump. But it's like, you could never plan for that ever. No. There's no way you could ever be like, I bet someone's going to die and no one's going to realize it this month.
Like, sounds good. Happen. That like, might happen. But you wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't lucrative to some extent, obviously.
Absolutely,
you know?
Not. I put $10,000 down on that property 18 months ago, and I've got all my money back. I make a decent amount a month. I mean, I don't want to get too crazy in the numbers. It's profitable every month. And I have $62,000 in equity now. So
perfect.
That's like
that's what I'm talking about.
On my, yeah, it's like a sixfold return plus whatever it makes me monthly. So
Yeah, you definitely got to be able to take the punches if you want to get in the ring. You know, like, you're not going to be able to be the champion if you can't take some punches along the way. You got to be able to cheek those, and you got to be willing to cheek them and know how to cheek them. And when you see a punch coming that you're not planning for, still got to take that, man. And you're just crushing it. That's awesome. That's absolutely great advice. Man, I want to know real quick before we get out of here. I know you read a book and you obviously have had a partner and you've been talking to people, but have you had a mentor at any part or at any point at this at all, or somebody that's maybe given you guidance, or are you just kind of talking to people as you go and figuring things out?
I've had a lot of mentors in the form of books, podcasts.
Okay, perfect, perfect. I was going to say who and how, but you just answered it. Awesome.
So there's been some pretty solid ones in there. I mean, I've been fortunate enough that I networked with the right people, and like I've gotten to spend a weekend with Brandon Turner at his house. And
so
I guess
good for
like
you.
Like, in a way, I would say that was like mentorship, but that wasn't really mentorship. Yeah. That was just like hanging out, and as a byproduct of hanging out, you get mentorship. Like, so I'm not a huge fan of the like asking for mentorship thing, because now on this end, I realize like, oh my God, I don't have time to help everyone who asks me.
Yes.
But I'm a huge fan of just building those connections and knowing who can answer what question you need. So like, I know right now that if I was trying to raise money for a deal, there's like five guys off the top of my head that I could call and say, look, I know you've raised money. What do I do? You know, and they'll have a 5 or 10 minute conversation with me and say, text me if you got any questions, and that's that. And I think that's like my way of like getting mentorship, is just being a really good networker and then trying to add value to all those guys. Right. Yeah. So if I can help someone out, like we'll use the Brandon thing, for example, like what he was trying to move to Hawaii when I was stationed there, I was looking at homes, trying to find a home that he might be able to move into. At one point his car was in my garage for like 4 months. Like, I was really just trying to find a way to help him get situated with all of that. And as a byproduct, you know, I've got his number and I can talk to him every now and then. But no, I wouldn't say that I would ever ask him, like, can you be my mentor? Because I've been on the receiving side of that, and that guy's too busy to, you know?
Yeah.
But that's great. So I think that's kind of my answer is books, podcasts, and networking. You can find somebody to answer any question you got.
Yeah, I really like that answer, because it's not like having this like relationship that has a regular cadence where like, let's meet every week or every 2 weeks, because you're right. And like all the things that I listed, I'm working a day job, I got a baby, doing the podcast, like there's no time, there really is no extra time in my life, and I have it that structured. So be able to have that kind of network to understand how to do that, how to create that for yourself, and then how to leverage that, and then be able to add value at the same time and piece all those pieces together. Perfect, man. And I absolutely love that. Before we get out of here though, where can everybody find more about you, find more about your podcast and all of those good things?
Yeah, actually, I didn't even mention this in the mentor thing.
Let's talk about
it. But if you are looking for something that's a little more structured, mastermind groups are awesome. So if you don't know, that's basically like a group of 4 to 6 people that get together with a similar goal and like weekly calls, whether Zoom chat or in person, and hang out and help each other out. And I say that I'm in two. Well, I've been in three. Well, shoot, I guess I'm in a podcasting one. I'm in a real estate one with David, with someone. I'm in another real estate one. So I tried to be somewhat specific with those, but then to roll into where people can get a hold of me, we actually started a mastermind group for service members who want to get into real estate investing, because I saw how powerful that was in my life. But from militarytomillionaire.com or the Military Millionaire Podcast, really at this point, I think there's just no competition. So if you type in Military Millionaire on like most platforms, I'll show up.
Awesome.
That or from Military to Millionaire. I'm on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to like talk to me or ask me questions, Instagram is the one that I respond to the most.
Sweet, man. Yeah, that's awesome. I'd never been in a mastermind of my own, so I actually went and created one. It's kind of broad right now. So I just created it. We're actually meeting tomorrow. So yeah, that's phenomenal advice. And it coincides with everything we talk about. Create it for yourself. Go out there and just crush it. All right, David, like I said, man, I really do appreciate it. There's a wealth of knowledge here. I'm really excited to go back and edit it myself and listen to all this stuff again. That's the beauty of being able to do it all myself. So thanks so much for your time, sharing your story and all this stuff. It was really fun. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, brother. This was awesome.
See ya.